the need as the body of believers to remember, to zachar. We are to remember the things that the Lord has done, that the covenant that God made with his people in the Old and New Covenants, particularly in the book of Deuteronomy, there's a lot of emphasis over and over again to remember what God has done, to remember the voice of God, to remember that we were slaves in Egypt. And there's a constant reference and encouragement to remember. And that is a critical factor. We spent the whole talk last week on the need to remember and the fact that particularly my generation and the subsequent generation as a generation that is disconnected from its past. We in the 1960s revolted from our forefathers, from our ancestors, from our generation to create, quote, a whole new society. And as a consequence, broke away from the moral fabric that which the society was built upon and developed a whole new way. And as a result, a lot of dislocation and insecurity and rebellion and all kinds of things were built into the society beginning in the 60s and following. And so it's so true, even for the believing community, we of those who believe, who get born again out of this generation, carry this problem into our congregations, into the kingdom, so that we think we're the new way, we're the in thing, we're the ones who are going to take the kingdom, and there's no recognition that we are connected to our past and that all those who have come before us have paved the way so that we might walk in their footsteps and so on. And so it was a little real lesson on remembering the past and the need to do that. However, there is a danger in remembering because sometimes we can get stuck in the past. We can get so locked in to the way things have been that we're not willing to allow God to move us forward. And we have to understand this, and I think hopefully we know this, that God is always moving us forward. God is always causing change. And we have got to recognize that fact. Now, remembrance is valuable because it provides a sure foundation for the future, but the future requires another Hebrew word, and it's called emunah, which means faith. The future requires faith, emunah. Now, what's interesting about the concept of faith and emunah is that we in our modern society, I believe, have very little concept of what it means to have biblical faith. When we think of faith, we think of what a philosopher said about a century or so ago. His name was Kierkegaard. He was a brilliant German philosopher. And he was a religious philosopher. But he said this. He was talking about religion. And he said, you know, you can go so far in understanding the ways of God and religious things, and you can figure those things out logically and rationally, but there comes a point when your experience and your reason are like departed, and the only way that you can fully experience the fullness of the Lord is this, what he calls this leap of faith. It's like it has to leap over logic and rationale into this kind of this unknown, and this is where you begin to experience the fullness of God. Now, there's a major problem with that because that's not biblical faith. There is no such thing in the Bible about what they call a leap of faith. Because to understand biblical faith, we need to understand the Hebrew. The word emunah actually comes from a root Hebrew word called aman, which, interestingly enough, happens to be Mike Seeler's painting company. That's his name, which I thought was interesting. But the root word aman means this. It means a lot of different things, different parts of the Old Covenant. But these are some of the meanings. It means to support. It means to nourish. It means a pillar. It means faithful or made firm or lasting or established or confirmed or reliable. Or truly. In other words, the faith that the Bible talks about is not a faith that you leap out into to some kind of unknown area and you just kind of hope for the best. That's the way faith is often viewed in the modern world. But the faith of the Bible is as certain as the past. You understand? It is absolutely as certain, as established, as lasting, as firm. There is no, oh, am I just going to take this little step and hope that God is going to hold me up? No, that's not faith, folks. The faith of the Bible is as firm as this bima, this podium up here. It's as firm as the floor. It's as firm as the walls. It is rock solid. There's no uncertainty with biblical faith. What's interesting is the word faith or aman appears in a lot of different places. In fact, when we say, everybody, you know, they hear a good sermon or they hear a prayer and we all say amen, right? Or amen in Hebrew. That is the word for faith. It's the same word. You've sometimes heard it say, oh, well, it means so be it. It does mean so be it. It means it is. It means it's lasting. It means it's reliable. This is the way it is. These are the facts. This is the bottom line. There is nothing else. You see, every time we say amen or we say amen, we're saying we believe. This is faith. This is what it is. This is the reality. And there's something really interesting in the Bible I want you to turn to. Isaiah chapter 65. Just turn with me to Isaiah chapter 65, verse 16. Isaiah 65, verse 16. It says this. Whoever invokes a blessing in the land will do so by the God of truth. He who takes an oath in the land will swear by the God of truth, for the past troubles will be forgotten and hidden from my eyes. Now you see the word twice here in this passage, the phrase God of truth. And the actual Hebrew here is Elohe Amen. In other words, God is the God of Amen. You see? God is the God of Amen because He's a God of faith. See, they translated here truth, but it really is faith. God is the God of faith. That's the way we operate in the kingdom. It is by faith. And it's not this weird kind of, oh, I'm just going to try to believe God when there's nothing left. That's not faith. Faith is something that is so substantial, you could easily put your life on it, much more so than even the past. There's nothing uncertain about faith. Zachar, which means to remember, its focus is on the past. But emunah, which is faith, its focus is on the future. It is just as certain as the past. We can be as certain about the future as we are about the past. Because the word is a certainty. The word of faith is a certainty. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the problem of being locked in our past. And then talk about how to move forward from that point on. You see, I'm a product, as I said last week, of the 1960s. And so much of the way I am is a reflection of that period. My hairstyle, believe it or not, with the exception of the gray, is actually a product of the early 1960s. My sister still gives me a hard time because she says my hairstyle is the Robbie Douglas hairstyle of the My Three Sons era. And that, if you remember Robbie Douglas, he has the hairstyle just like me, and I've never changed it since then. And so, really, you know, in a sense, I'm still from that time. Believe it or not, I know this might seem shocking, but I still wear clothes from my high school era. I still have some shirts that I wear that are from my high school. Of course, my kids think, you know, I'm a goner, basically, from the deep in the past, you know, from the ancient of days, so to speak. But because I'm a reflection of that kind of thing, you know, the music that I enjoy is actually music from the 1960s, the beat and the style and so forth like that. And so, you know, and now, you know, sometimes it's a little bit hard to get past that. But it's because I am a product of that period. But the problem is, there's nothing wrong with being a reflection of your period, but the Lord is always wanting us to move on. And if we don't allow God to move us forward, you know what happens? Rigor mortis sets in. And we start to get tied and absolutized to our past so that our lifestyle never changes from the way it was in the past. Our habits remain the same. Even our direction remains the same. I've seen this in the kingdom of God throughout the ages, throughout the years, is that you'll meet people who've experienced an awakening from the Lord maybe 20, 30 years ago, but they're still living in that experience 20 and 30 years before. It was real then, but God wants us to move forward from beyond that point to what He's doing right now. And it doesn't mean that I have to have some kind of bush haircut to be part of the 1990s or whatever the haircut is now. You know, but it means that I have to be willing for God to move me past what I'm comfortable with, what I enjoy, and past some of the habits that I've developed in my own personal life that are holding me back from experiencing what God wants me to experience in the 1990s. And then as we cross over the century into the new millennial period, a very significant time. Thank you very much. Now, Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at somebody who was ahead of his time. Hebrews 11, verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. It says this, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God." Jump down to verse 15. "If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." Now notice what the Lord has called Abraham here. We, many of us know the story of Abraham. God called Abraham to get out of his comfort zone and to move forward, to get on with the calling that God had. But what's interesting about Abraham's life is that he was a relatively old man when God spoke to him to leave. In fact, there's a lot of instances in the scripture where God speaks to older people and says, "Now's the beginning." Isn't that interesting? Sometimes we think, "Oh man, we were in our 20s, 30s, and we think we've missed it. 40s for me, 50s, 60s, whatever. And we think we've missed it. Oh, you know, if only I had known earlier in my life, if only I had obeyed earlier in my life, I maybe had missed out." But that's not true in biblical faith, because the scripture makes it clear that he uses even old people and tells them to start moving. Abraham was a relatively old man. So was Moses. So was Noah and others that God was using. Now, if you look in verse 16, he says here specifically, "Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one." God's plans, his future is always better than the past. I want you to say that with me. Say, "My future is better than my past." Say it right now. My future is better than my past. Amen. God's future for you is better than whatever past that you have had. No matter how glorious, no matter how much you've experienced the fullness and the power of God, God's future for you is better than the past. But you've got to be willing to get out of your comfort zone to experience what the Lord wants. Now notice what it says in verse 8. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." He didn't know where he was going. God called him to leave and to go, but he didn't know where he was going. Now that's a problem for us, because we say, "How can God ask me to do something that I've never experienced before? How can God ask me to go somewhere where I haven't been before? How can God ask me to give up this and that to do what he wants me to do if I've never experienced that before?" You know what? That's a problem that we have, but it wasn't a problem for Abraham. You know why? It's because Abraham had emunah, faith. Or in the Greek, as it says right here, the Greek is pistis. In other words, it's something that God spoke into Abraham's life. It was established, it was reliable, and it was firm. There was no question. When God spoke it, faith arose into Abraham's life and his heart, and he moved forward. It wasn't a question of, it doesn't, see, when you have real faith, you don't need to know where you're going. When you have biblical faith, you don't need to have all the answers. See, it's the human desire to know everything that feels that we must know every little step before we take a move forward. But that's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is we need to know what God said, we obey it, and that's the end of it. You see? And then with that faith, we will move to the next step. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. This is what we read in the New Covenant reading. Philippians 3. Verse 13. What's interesting, now what I'm going to be talking about today, I was so fascinated at the prophetic words today, because they're all going to tie in. Just think about what they were, what the various prophetic words, they're all going to tie in. Now people didn't know what I was going to talk about, because I don't tell anybody. But they are going to tie in an amazing way. Philippians 3, the second part of verse 13, it says this. "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in the Messiah Yeshua." What's interesting about this passage is, number one, it says to forget the things from behind, which is just the reverse of what I talked about last week, right? I talked last week that we need to remember the things of the past. But the things that we need to remember of the past are the things that God has spoken. That's what we remember, not our failures. That's what the Lord wants us to be able to forget and leave behind. Now, I love the way the writers, the way Paul has described this next part here, where he says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. It's an interesting word form he's used here, this word straining. You see, straining implies resistance. It's resistance to what? It's resistance to moving ahead to the future that God has and from the past that wants to hold us back. When I think of resistance, when I think of straining, I think of a horse with a halter on it, or even a person with a horse's halter, and they're straining to move forward, carrying this wagon or whatever is behind them, because this wagon is resisting them from moving forward, but they're straining to move forward. And it's interesting to think that the Scripture says that we must strain to move forward to the call that we have. Well, why is that the case? The case is because the enemy loves to use godly concepts to keep us locked into our past. That's the problem. You see, what is amazing about the devil is that he uses biblical concepts, but does it for deceitful purposes. What he does, he uses the word zachar, which means to remember, but it's not to remember what God has said, but it's rather to remember how we have failed. You see, when God says, I want you to do thus and stuff, this is the plan that I have for you, or this is what I want you to give up, what does the devil immediately do? He gets onto our shoulder and he says, you've tried that before, but you failed. In fact, you're a loser. You're never going to make it. You're never going to overcome. You're never going to be free from the sin. You're just going to be locked into this way. That's the way it is. The facts are facts. Things are never going to change. But you see, that's from the devil. That is a lie. And see, when God speaks something to us, we must have a certainty of the future. The devil tries to make our future uncertain. And when he makes our futures uncertain, the result is fear, right? That's why people so much grasp to know the future. They read astrological charts. They go to psychics. You know, they go to all kinds of people to learn about their future. Why? Because they are fearful of what the future holds out for them. We desperately want to know the future. If you want to know the future, you need to get a hold of God. Because when God speaks into your life about your future, there is no more fear. It is replaced by faith. And that faith is absolutely established. It's reliable. It is firm. It is lasting. That's the way it's going to be. Will things ever change? That's sometimes our question. You know what, folks? Things always change. Things always change. Even nature, you look at nature, nature always changes. The very breath of God has caused things that will always change. You are going to change. But the question is, are you going to change into the likeness of the Lord? Or are you going to just continue in the rut going deeper and deeper and deeper? What you need to have is faith, emunah, something that's going to build into you, that's going to project you into the future and the plan that God has for your life. The question is, how do you get it? How do you get this emunah? How do you get this faith? Do we just sit around trying to generate it up? I'm going to believe, I'm going to believe, I'm going to believe. Do we just try to come to praise and worship and yell and scream as loud as we can, and hopefully something is going to drop out of heaven, and then we're going to be able to believe and move forward? Is that where faith comes from? Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now, I'm going to be leading you to something that I guarantee for many of you, it's going to change your lives. Not today's talk. I mean, I hope it does, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the future. I'm talking about what I'm going to share a little bit today, and we're going to be sharing over the coming months. Your lives will be changed. I guarantee it. Romans 10, verse 17. It says this. Now, it says in this translation, which is the New International, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of the Messiah. But the actual Greek says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. The word, you see, faith comes from hearing what? It's the word of God. In the Greek, the word, the term word is rhema. In other words, faith comes from hearing rhema, a word from God. Now, what is a rhema? Rhema is a word. It's used in a lot of different places in the New Testament, but basically, it is a Greek word that means it's a spoken word from a living being. It's a spoken word from a living being. Now, I want you to picture this in your mind. Here's God. God sees everything. He sees into yours and my future. He knows exactly the way we're going to go and the way He wants us to go. Guess what? It could be different, okay? But He knows our future. God is like, and I've shared this illustration before, like a chess master, for those of you that play chess. And we're like chess pieces. And let's say that we are a bishop in the chess game, if you know chess. And the chess master, who God says to you as the bishop, I want you to go up three spaces on a diagonal to the right. So you go up and you go along those spaces and you peer around the corner and you see an opposing rook ready to, making a beeline for you. And you say to the chess master, no way. There's no way I'm going to take those steps right there because I see there's a rook facing me down and I'm dead if I step out there. The chess master says, have faith. Just do what I said and you're going to be fine. But the chess piece, the bishop says, no, I see, I can see. But what is it really? The chess master sees from a different perspective that he has a knight that is protecting the bishop around the corner. Because the knight makes a kind of an L move, the bishop can't see him, but the chess master can. The chess master knows that the opposing rook will never lose himself to will never give up himself to a bishop. Will never lose that because it's not a fair trade. The rook is more valuable. So the master knows that and won't make and knows that. But the question is, will the bishop accept this step of faith? Will he obey? Okay, God knows your future. He knows exactly what His intention for you is. And so what He wants to do is to speak to you a word about your future. A word that is true. A word that is reliable. A word that is established. A word that is absolutely certain. You see? That's what God wants. What caused Abraham to get up from a comfortable life in Ur of the Chaldees in southeastern Iraq, and go to a land that he knew nothing about? What caused him? It was a word from the Lord. Abraham sought the Lord. The Lord spoke to Abraham, and the very word that came from God gave him faith. You see, because the scripture says that faith comes from hearing the word, the rhema of God. God spoke a rhema, a word, specifically to Abraham. Abraham, when he received it, he wasn't going, there's no evidence in the scripture that he quarreled with God, that he was uncertain, that he was a little frantic about giving up his life. See, we read the scriptures through our own experiences. We read about Abraham and say, oh, the Lord told Abraham to get up and go. And so we think about us getting up and going, and we think about, oh my gosh, you know, how am I going to provide for my family, and how am I going to, you know, how am I going to cut off from these roots, and so on and so forth. But you see what happens when God speaks a word, faith erupts into your life, into your heart, and suddenly the future becomes an absolute certainty. You know it. You've got to obey it. It is far more certain to do what God wants than to rest on your laurels in the past. You see? What caused Moses to return to Egypt to face the Pharaoh? It was a rhema word from God. God met Moses in the burning bush and he says, my people have been crying out to me for 400 years and you're the one who's appointed to go back and speak to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And so, yes, Moses was a little, he wasn't fearful about returning. He was fearful about being used as a vessel for the Lord. But he wasn't fearful about it all, about returning. He fled from Pharaoh 40 years before, but he went back in power. What was the difference? It's because he had a rhema from the Lord, a word. And that word produced faith into his heart. What about Paul? What makes this man have the ability to preach to the Gentiles? Do you understand? Paul was a very religious rabbi, a very religious Jew. These Jews would have nothing to do with the Gentiles. What would cause a man to completely throw off what he's been taught traditionally to serve the Lord in that way, except that it was a rhema word. It was a word from the Lord where he's willing to put down his life to give up his own life, sacrifice his life for the very one that he was persecuting. What was it? It was a word, a rhema, that came from the Lord that changed his life. It produced the faith to propel him forward. That's what it's all about, folks. Now, God wants each of you to move forward. I'm serious. I can guarantee it. I don't know what it is specifically that he has in mind, but he wants you to move forward. He wants you to do things that you've never experienced before, to impact a world that is waiting for you. The question is, do you have emunah? Do you have faith? If not, you know what the answer is? Hear from God. Get a rhema from the Lord, a word from the Lord. Because when you receive that word from the Lord, it's going to produce the faith that's going to propel you into the future. Your goal is to hear from God. Now, the scripture has, it specifically has protection in case we think we're hearing from the Lord and we're not, right? Because there's a lot of us who think we've heard from God from time to time and we really aren't, and we're just out on some kind of bizarre trip and so forth. Because the scripture says that let every rhema word be what? Established by two or three witnesses. That's your protection. That's how you know if a word is from the Lord, is that those who are around you, those who are in authority over you, can help confirm the word by establishing that, yes, it's from God. So you have the faith to go move forward and so on. Now, how do you open yourselves to this rhema? I'm going to get ready to close, but I want to challenge you with this. How do you open yourselves to receive a word from the Lord, a rhema, a life-changing word that is going to propel you into the future? It's largely through prayer, but it's also through what I'd call intelligent prayer, not just prayer out there, which is fine. I mean, you can just be praying and seeking the Lord and God can speak to you. But we need to be praying with sometimes within a context of vision. And that's how we hear from the Lord. And I want to introduce to you this thing here, this little booklet right here. It's called An Intercessor's Guide to the Jewish World. It's been produced by Youth with a Mission here in Richmond after laboring for well over a year. And what is it? I'm going to describe it, then I'm going to tell you how it's going to change our lives here. This book is a profile of unreached Jewish people groups around the world. Azerbaijan, Georgia, not Atlanta, Georgia. Georgia, the former Soviet Union. Okay, I hope you understand that. Uzbekistan, India, Latin places in Latin America, Australia, South Africa. It's got all these groups in here. And what it does is it does a profile of each community. And then it has prayer points down along the bottom of each one of these profiles. The goal is, and this is planned out over a whole year. So you take these little manuals, and for each week you pray for a certain group that's in here. And you pray for them and you intercede for them and so forth. We're going to be doing that in this whole congregation all year long. But I have something more personal to tell each one of you. You see, the plan is, as God has birthed it through Youth with a Mission and other groups that are joining with them, including ourselves, is that God's desire is, first, the scripture says the gospel is to go forth to whom first? The Jews first and then to the Gentiles, right? God's plan is to reach the Jewish people and their communities first, and then that reaches the nations, and then the end will come. You see, the whole question of real world redemption is dependent upon Jewish response to the gospel. That determines the return of the Lord. And this book is going to be a major player in this. And what I believe is that there's many people in this congregation that are going to be involved not just in praying here, but in going there. Hear what I'm saying? I believe for some of you, maybe not that many, it'll be a full-time thing. You're going to go into one of these nations and you're going to help plant a congregation that's going to restore the nation to the Lord and bring the Lord back and stuff. But I believe that there's others of you that are going to go on shorter trips, intercessory prayer trips. We have a lot of strong intercessors here that go into a nation and they begin to pray in this one nation here, around the Jewish communities, around the synagogues, meeting the people and praying that the strongholds will be brought down so that the gospel can then come and liberate them and bring them into the kingdom and establish the congregations right there. I believe many of you are going to be involved in these trips. Some of you are going to be involved in little longer trips, maybe 3 months, 4 months, to help work building the congregation in its early stages and so forth. I believe that many here are going to be involved. I don't care how old you are. It doesn't matter. I mean, Rebecca here is, are you 70 yet or what? Not quite. Close. I don't mean to embarrass you, but here's Rebecca Hall, almost 70, around 70. You know, she goes to the former Soviet Union with us and, you know, carrying these heavy bags of all these tracks and everything else. All of us are laboring under them on the street, and she's just, you know, walking along mile after mile, handing these things out. You see? Age is immaterial. The only thing that's immaterial is your lack of faith. You see? Lack of emunah. Lack of vision. Lack of being impacted by the power of God. A lack of a rhema word. And what I'm going to ask you, what I'm going to challenge you this year, I really want to throw this challenge down to every person, is that everybody get this book. Every family have this book. And then not only I want you to pray for the nations as we pray for them, but I want you to pray and hear from the Lord. Because God very well say to you, I want you in that country. That's going to change your life. One time you go, it will change your life. Even for a short trip, your life will be forever changed. You'll be on the next step for God to punch you into the next plan. But we have to hear from the Word. Let me just give you these steps and then I'm going to close. First comes prayer. You pray, you receive, you don't make it up. I'm not saying you go through every nation, oh Lord, is this me? Is this me? Oh yes. I'm not saying that. You just feel like you have to do something and then you begin to pray. God begins to share with you what it is that He wants you to do. And then He confirms it, maybe with two or three others. And then what I want you to do, and then the faith is going to arise to do something. Then I want you to going to get some training, okay? Because we don't want to go out there ignorantly, but you need some training, either here or some of the other groups that we're going to coordinate with. And then as part of this, I want you to serve another person's vision, another rhema. You say, whoa, I thought you're talking about me. Yeah, that's the problem. You got to get rid of me, right? There's no me's in the kingdom. There's only God. We're here to serve Him. So a lot of times we'll receive a rhema from the Lord, a word from the Lord, and say, yes, now I have purpose. Now I'm going to go take the kingdom and stuff like that. And you become the most dangerous person on the earth, you know, because now you're going to think you're going to do God's work in your power. Major mistake. And so what you need to do is at that point, you begin to serve another person's vision, work with them and so forth. And then as you do that, the Lord will open the door for you to move to the direction that He has for you. I believe in the next year to 2 years, doors are going to open to many in this room, and you're going to begin to see what it is God has for you. But it begins with not you making plans, but with you hearing from the Lord. That's the issue. You've got to hear from God. You've just got to hear from God, because that's what gives you the faith for your future. Closing with this, as Paul said, but there's one thing that I do. I forget what lies behind, but I strain towards what is ahead. Are you willing to strain towards what is ahead for you? Let's pray. Father, I pray for each and every one of us in this room, including myself, Lord. Father, I know a little bit of what you have and what you've wanted me to do, Lord, and I have obeyed up to this point to what I understand, Lord God. But Father, I'm willing to receive rhema from you, a word from you, Lord. And I pray this for each person, Lord, that they, each person in this room would say, yes, Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to know what you're saying about my future, Lord. And Father, I want to position myself to say yes to you, Lord. And Father, as the result being the emunah, Father, the faith that will arise in my heart, that will propel me forward against any trial and tribulation that I might ever face, Lord God. Father, just like Abraham and Moses and all those faced many trials, Lord, but they had the faith to prevail, so too, Lord, give me the emunah, the faith to overcome and to prevail, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Father, open my heart, open my ears to hear what you are saying to me, what the Spirit is saying to me, Lord God, and help me to serve my people, Lord, during this time. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.